Hi, my name is John Sterling. Talking about disambiguating event logs, in this case from a supercomputer, but it's a general problem. Okay, so a first slide to kind of motivate the problem. This is a set of data that are events of interest, of general interest, as defined by system administrators have written rules that say I want a page when I see this mail, I mean this alert, or I want this in a nightly summary kind of report. Or they've been studied in research papers in the past. And so this data is 4 months of data from a 9200 node supercomputer. We have in New Mexico called CLO. And in this case, there are 708,000 such events. And clearly there's some patterns. So nodes are on the y-axis. So, in this case, something happened to basically everything, right? And then at other times, not everything happened everywhere. So from a reliability perspective, you'd want to ask, okay, which of these dots indicate a failure of something versus just a symptom? We probably don't want notifications of every one of these lines. So the system administrators often know what's happening today, but as researchers, like sometimes I'll get a bolus of data and I'll wonder, what's important in this data, right? So if I were to want to model failure distributions or even take the simplest of summary statistics like mean time to failure, what do I do with this? So my premise is for accurate understanding of our systems, event disambiguation is absolutely essential. And so what's often done is you could take all this data and you could say, oh, let me just look at one of them. So this is an important such event. I've given it a label of Cray heart stop alert. We've decreased the total amount of data from 708,000 to 70,000, so it's 1/10. You might start thinking, oh, maybe these lines indicate a scheduled reboot. Maybe every week or so, that would be a good guess. Are these partial lines benign reboots or failures? And really, I wanted to go to this other paper that Adam Olener and I wrote a few years ago, saying what do supercomputers say? And in particular, a statement in here, we give an example of this message, which sounds bad. This is from a blue gene system. Failure, oh, it exited normally. That's odd. And one of the points we make in this paper is there's all these event messages and there's all these research papers looking at all these event messages, but there's this missing context. So there's all this research about some assumptions about these events when the fact is that these events are really not properly understood. So this work is kind of a follow-on in response to that issue. Okay. So again, usually the system administrators know we were in a scheduled downtime that day. It doesn't really matter. But only rarely is there a reliable record of that. It might be in stickies or just in their heads. It varies from site to site. And again, as researchers, we want a reliable way to disambiguate these. So I'm going to show you how I did this, but I basically took the data from this to this, where if it's benign and it doesn't matter, I've turned it black. If it's important and it indicates a failure, I turn it red. And so in this case, I find that instead of 70,000, there's 70,000 events, there's only 77 distinct times that there's a failure. And one of them is this one here, where a lot of things bad happen at the same time. So I will proceed to tell you the machinery used to accomplish this. Okay, so first get an idea of event classes. So if all types of events, all messages are in the outer circle, so the universe of messages, only a subset of those are really of interest to researchers or system administrators or whatever. So that's the next block in. A very small subset in the middle are things that are alerts that the system administrators would like want a page about or an email about. That's a very small subset. And then there's these others, a possible state change or actual state change, where you know, if you're transitioning from, let's say, a production uptime state to an unscheduled downtime state, you might declare that to be a failure. And so that would be a state change. So some messages may indicate that there was a state change, may or may not, depends on what your previous state was. So there's the group of possible state change messages, and then a smaller set of those that actually do indicate a state change. So here's some sample events. Here's the Cray heart stop alert. This is the raw message. It does say alert. It does say that the node was considered dead. In the Cray, they have, so this is almost 10,000 nodes. There's another 2,500 Linux nodes underneath that are just monitoring the other 10,000. And they're basically watching, they're monitoring that the compute node kernel is spinning on a certain memory address that it has access to. So when the external monitor notices that, it says, oh, the heartbeat stopped. That happens, and then it emits a Cray heart stop warn, and then a little bit longer, it emits a Cray heart stop alert. And it says it's declared dead. So a naive researcher might say, well, this is really an important event. I want to model these, I want to study these. Another one would be this Moab start sys. This is the start of a scheduled downtime, as indicated by the presence of this preventative maintenance word. Some examples. Okay, so I'm going to define some states here that are operationally meaningful. So first is up. That's where all evidence suggests that a host is providing correct service. Everything seems to be good. Suspect would be it was up, but we've had some indication that something might be going wrong. There's a health check that's failed or something, but it's in a suspect state. Otherwise, you could be down. Like a hard down is where it just hits the floor, harshly terminates the service, crashes. Let's say it's running a production job and all of a sudden the heartbeat stops. That would be a transition from up to hard down. Soft down is a graceful termination of service, such as if a node is running a job, it's in an up status, and it fails some kind of health check. Something internally says there seems to be a problem. We put in suspect. And then when the job terminates normally, the node might automatically transition to a soft down state, which would prevent another job from being launched on it until it could be investigated. So it's kind of a gracious termination of service. Schedule down, you expected, you know, doing some maintenance out or whatever, and then I need an unknown state where I just don't have enough information to conclude what the status of the node is. So to turn into a state machine, we need some transition logic. So this is what's actually being used to disambiguate the data. And I've included a comparison table to some supercomputer software. Is anyone familiar with Slurm or Moab in here? Just a couple people, okay. So that's not going to help this audience much, and that's okay. But different subsystems have different perspectives on the system. Say, is it up from a scheduling point of view? Is it up from a system management point of view? Or is it up from some other perspective? So there's a mapping of these distinct states into this set, which I'm hoping is sufficient to describe. And then I've grouped in production uptime. That's either of those upper two. Unscheduled downtime, either of those was, you know, unexpected removal from service. And then scheduled down. So consider a 10,000 node supercomputer. And what I do is I track the state of each host separately. So the state machine exists, and I'm tracking each node through it independently. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to add some transition rules. So I implemented this in Splunk, which I think is a really great tool. And instead of just hard coding the state machine logic into some script that I wrote, I tried to do it in a general fashion, where all you have to do is define a Splunk configuration. They have something called event type, and that can be such as These are defined in the same way. So cray, heart stop, alert, I showed you the definition for that. So you just say this event type has this regular expression, logical condition. And just by creating new event types with a prefix with COS, which I'm using to indicate component operation status, it's just an arbitrary prefix I used. So you create a rule, and it defines a transition from X to Y. So in this case, from up to suspect would be if a host is currently in the up state, and I see any of these three other event types, then it would indicate a transition to the suspect state. And similarly, from hard down to up, if you're in a hard down state and you see any of these five, then you would go to up. So here's one more in the top corner. From schedule down to unknown. So I showed you an example of the MOAB system start, which was the start of a schedule downtime. This is the associated ending message. So this says from if you're currently in schedule down and you get a MOAB system end, then we transition to unknown. So there's only one condition there, and that basically means everything else that occurs in schedule down, we just ignore. It's not a state transition. Okay? So there's kind of this general framework, and I've created this state machine, but I intended for it to be changeable. So you could get it and make your own state machine if it was useful in your system. And this is a list of a bunch of the detail that goes into the states, into the transition logic, which I, of course, won't go through completely. But there's descriptions about all of that in the paper. And maybe I should invite you. It's a workshop. Feel free to interrupt me if you like. Happy for that. So going back to the data, getting out of the machinery and going back to the original data, red indicates a failure, which in this case is a transition from either up or suspect to unscheduled downtime. And black means it's benign. So in this case, the cray heart stop alert, obviously, if the node is being rebooted normally, what's most often done is they run a command called bounce, which literally turns off the power to the node, waits a few seconds, and then it turns it back on. So clearly the heartbeat will stop. But the monitoring subsystem doesn't have the context to know whether it's a scheduled downtime or not. They don't know if the heartbeat stopped for intentional purposes or not. And so it emits this cray heart stop alert. But tracking it through the state machine, it's just basically keeping track of past history to see I knew that this was in a scheduled downtime state. So it's a very simple concept, which is fine. And it took a lot of work to actually write the details for the state machine. But it's a conceptually simple idea. So all of these are, in fact, scheduled downtimes, these vertical lines. But part of the question was, you know, how would we know if, you know, is this partial line, is it a secondary reboot within the same scheduled downtime, or was that a failure? And similarly here, was it just another reboot or not? How do you disambiguate even between those events, right? So just running it through the machine, turning the crank, see that, yeah, one of them is, in fact, just a partial reboot. Doesn't matter. It's benign. The other one is a catastrophic failure on the system. Okay. So if you were to do some summary statistics on this, and we were to call a cray heart stop alert event that indicated a transition to hard down, if we define that as a failure, and then do some summary statistics on that, if you look at per day, over these 4 months, 112 days, there was 69 perfect days with not a single failure. And 42 days had 1 to 5, which is pretty much okay. You've got almost 10,000 nodes there, pretty decent. There's one bad day, again, with 1,708 failures, all within several seconds of each other. Distribution looks pretty decent. failures per host. Similarly, 9,200 hosts, 7,400 were perfect, never failed once. 1,740 were okay, failed once in 4 months. 19 were questionable. And yeah, you might ask, why did those fail multiple times? So you'd want to pursue that. And then one was bad and it kept failing over and over. So obviously, how you count the numbers makes a huge difference in the failure statistics. So in the supercomputing world, everyone likes to brag about the mean time to failure of their system. And site to site all brags about it, but they all pick different ways of accounting their numbers and also their equations. So in this case, we just count, you know, time over failures. If you were to count the 5-9 event, the catastrophic failure, as a single event, you get 77 distinct times. You come out to 37 years per failure per host, which is pretty good. The literature likes to use, you know, a rule of thumb of 5 years, but that's really a rough rule. So, you know, I would argue that 37 years is probably a good estimate for this time range, for this event type. If you count as 1,708 failures, you drop to 1.6 years. And then if you were, of course, to naively count all of the events, you'd get 1.5 days. It makes a big difference. Okay. So just getting to future work, this was just the first pass at this machinery. My first question is, how about other event types? So going back to the soup plot of all of the events, the next stage of the work is to look at all of those instead of just the single type. And also, the state machine was designed with other systems in mind as well. So I want to apply that to some of the clusters we have, different systems, and see if the machine is sufficiently describes all the different states on all the different systems. Of course, another question, how does it relate to job failures? This is not directly saying, but that's next work. How is it going to help detection or prediction efforts? You would think having more context would be really helpful. What does it tell us about fault and error and failure modes and distributions of our system, which is really important going forward because they're getting much, much larger. So in these little red blocks, there's some interleaving, and I don't know if you can tell, but there's a little bit of interleaving of black and red in this line. So that probably indicates that some of the rules are not perfect yet. Might be missing some messages, or maybe the rules are not perfect. Just giving you a list of things to look at going forward. Here's the bad host that failed 6 times. So he failed, you know, 6 times within several days. And so looking at this with the sysadmins, they said, oh yeah, was that host so-and-so? And we looked back, sure enough, it was. So that was kind of a nice validation point to say that intuitively made sense to them. And they remembered this event too, of course. And so using Splunk, I have a collection of, you know, configuration that is called an app that Sarah told us about for high-performance computing systems. And they've been using it for a year for a variety of things. I had a paper here a couple years ago that describes some of those other things. But they've been using it a lot. So my goal is to give them a good tool that also will track this kind of state information so that I'll have kind of a validated ground truth for, let's say, prediction or detection experiments. Because right now, what many people do is they just look at the raw events and they say, oh, we're predicting this event with this kind of accuracy, this rate of false positive. But operationally, it's really unclear how operationally meaningful those predictions are. So I'm trying to deliver it in a system that they're already using. So again, just the end is, if we're going to accurately understand our systems, we have to do something to disambiguate these events. And this is one approach for doing that I've tried out. And the app will be released soon. Did all the legal paperwork, but it hasn't finished the whole chain of desks that it has to pass. So at this point, I think I will stop. Are there any questions at all? Yeah. Oh, I guess, so you can go first since you, whatever.
Mark Cherini, Harvard. So do you have any sense of how you may be able to use multiple event types and in some kind of a correlation to sort of indicate the likelihood that something is really a problem or not?
So my first thought is to have more states in a state machine. If I see this event, then I'm in this kind of suspect. If I see another one, I'm there. I suppose I'd have to automatically time out. So you're looking at sequences of events.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Splunk has a mechanism for doing that, but I frankly have never used it. Do you happen to know?
I don't know.
Okay. I think that's true.
I guess so you could. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking along the lines of, you know, events that either happen, different event types that may occur in proximity of each other,
right,
as stronger evidence for something.
Right. So I haven't looked at that.
Yeah.
I believe there is a mechanism, probably transaction is the right name of it in Splunk. And using that mechanism, I think you can define, you know, rules based on sequences of messages with time conditions and content conditions.
Yeah. So somewhat related to that, when it comes to defining the actual transitions between one state and the other, I was wondering how much information you were able to get from the specifications of the actual supercomputer, and how much of it did you have to infer based on like experiments that you did yourself? So like figuring out that, you know, just having a hard stop alert followed by something else doesn't necessarily mean a failure. Like it could be something that's scheduled, but these components are automatically emitting these messages when they get to a certain state. So how much of that, because I had some experience with a BlueJeans supercomputer where for an older generation, it was very, very difficult to infer what some of the messages meant because there was no manual that basically said, you know, these are the times when this message gets emitted, right?
Right.
So I was just wondering what your experience with that was.
Yeah, so my experience is just that I do have access to the experts, the sysadmins. I didn't really have a manual either, mm-hmm. but I've been doing it for a while, and I talked with Sandia has bought multiple Crays, and so we have kind of a long relationship,
right.
So we have access to people who really know. So this was entirely just gathering or eliciting their expertise and then making a state machine out of it. As far as what, how to figure out what a message means or not, hopefully going forward, this will be helpful. But yeah, it didn't automatically learn it or anything.
Xiaosong Ma from NC State and Oak Ridge National Lab. I have two questions. The first one is, I'm curious, because you have these correlated failures, right? You have the vertical red lines. Do they indicate, because they don't seem to be independent, is that caused by, say, file system failure or interconnection failure?
Like this guy here?
Yeah, all of them fail at the same time.
Yeah. So in this case, like a file system failure would generally not cause 1,700 nodes to stop heart beating. Mm-hmm. So I can rule out that one. I actually didn't dig into the root cause of this event. I talked with the admins, and they seemed to, they did remember it, and they said some comments, but I didn't chase down what the actual problem was.
Okay.
So I don't really know the story behind that.
Okay. And another one is that you have calculated MTTF according to your results. Any idea about an MTTR? You know, how long does it take to recovery? Could you also find that out from your analysis?
Absolutely. And so I didn't include that here, but definitely once you're tracking, so if a failure is a transition from up to hard down, mm-hmm. certainly you can look at how long it was in hard down and then go to up, mm-hmm. and you can start looking at not just single nodes statistics, but you can say, you know, at what point out of 10,000 nodes, how many have to be down before you declare the whole system as down? Is it 99% have to be up and only 1% is down, or 95% have to be down? So that's the other thing that's done in the industry, is to say, oh, my whole system only goes down every, you know, this often or this often. So definitely one of my goals is, and I didn't list it in the future work, is to look at the whole system and do aggregate statistics, and that's actually included in this app. And my hope is that it would become kind of a reference implementation for sites to calculate standardized metrics on what mean time to interrupt means, and like a tool that will do that for them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is the one thing that comes to mind is application in other sites than Sandia, and the one issue with that is that you're relying on Splunk, which I'm thinking about. Blue Waters would be a great site to apply this on. Big computer, it's NSF. They're not going to pay for Splunk. So what would be an alternative?
Yeah,
I mean, it's very large scale data aggregation. That's the problem.
Yeah. So there is, you mentioned Blue Waters, and so we do have a contract, and they are looking at this, applying this to Blue Waters actually right now. So that's good.
That's actually very encouraging.
But your question is certainly valid. So I have a list of things that you would have to do to re-implement this.
Mm-hmm.
And conceptually, it's not that tough, but practically, there's a lot of details.
All right.
You have to get all the logs from all the different subsystems. You have to sort them. You have to normalize namespaces, because some systems report in one namespace and other systems report in a different namespace.
Yeah.
So the identifiers and the messages are not consistent. Like some messages will apply to all 9,000 or only 3,000. So a single message can say that these 3,000, and then others are one to one. And so there's just a lot of details.
All right.
You could certainly write it.
Right.
But Splunk actually provides a lot of the glue that does a lot of those things for you. And some of that is described in the paper.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
It sounds like Ovis people would be the customers for a mission like this.
Yeah. So if someone else wanted to write it, I think that'd be great.
Right, cool.
This seemed like the shortest path.